Judy Hankinson, you are indeed anointed of the Lord. Your choice of repertoire, your golden spirit, the manifest life of Jesus in your spirit and your golden heart.
Thank you.
Brings healing and life wherever you go. And I'm grateful you're part of my life and CFO. Amen. I love you, God. And to the wonderful council ring and Madam Chairman, par excellence. Par excellence. Excellence honors Jesus. Mediocrity is not what for what you are made. Young people, if I have anything to say to you, take your academics seriously. It's the call on your life for this season of time. And if you're capable of making an A is what honors the Lord on the inside of you. Now they want to crawl in the chimney, I can tell. And young people, don't wander around aimlessly. When we do that, we get ourselves in real messes. Be intentional in your goings and comings and have purpose, all of us, when we wake up. And young people, one more, save yourselves for marriage. You won't regret it. You won't regret it. Anytime we take on another person, we absorb their psyches, not just their muscles. We absorb their psyches. And you don't want to get all tangled up in psyches and mentalities and relationships that are destructive and have no eternal value. So hear me well. Stay before Jesus. We all need to take these energies. You know, I really believe this area is the seed of our souls. And it's from the depths, from the seed of our soul, that the rivers of life flow, that sexual energies flow, that love comes forth. And we have to stay centered in Jesus for these energies to take their proper expression for your good and the good of all of those around you. So that's your lecture for the day, high school, college. I'm through. Mama Bear is through. I didn't have children, but I can sure be bossy sometimes. I tried to contain myself this week, but I think I escaped. There's an old Indian saying that I shared with you 2 years ago. Where the elephants dance, the grass suffers. Where the elephants dance, the grass suffers. And many of us came with our grass trampled upon. It's like we sometimes feel suspended between hell and heaven, and life intervenes somehow. Well, that's not the place to which we're called. I received a birthday card from Tom last year, never knowing that would be my last birthday card from him. And it said, if we are descended from monkeys, why are there still monkeys? Personally, I do believe in evolution, but evolution within the species. For we are made in his likeness, and we grow in his image. We're made in his likeness. And we grow in his image. We need in our walk to learn to discern between that which is real and that which is a mirage, and give ourselves to those things that breed life and love and hope. For example, back in the 70s, I was a young girl, young lady, and I called my folks in Chapel Hill. I was living in Dallas, Texas, and it was a horrific day, and it was unusual that my father be home on that day, and he answered the phone. And I just started pouring my guts out. I was just horrified and disgruntled. And my daddy said, "That which is unreal is temporary, and that which is real is eternal." I said, "Let me speak to Mama." I said, "Mama, did you hear what Daddy said? That which is unreal is temporary, and that which is real is eternal." And Mama said, "So is baloney." And that's my wonderful functional family. But anyway, we began to laugh, and that tension began to break. So be fortified by the life of Spirit who dwells in you. That same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you this day. And that's not a myth. That's reality. You know, the word Memphis, as in Memphis, Tennessee, is an Indian word. And it means safe abode. And I pray that we all seek and find that wonderful Memphis on the inside, that safe abode. The psychology world calls it the snoozling room, the snoozling room, where you just get quiet and alone. And they sent off scents like cinnamon and sugar and gingerbread, these wonderful scents of our childhood. And colors. And we snooze them in the bosom of Jesus. Comfort is yours emotionally and physically, as we learn to rest and find our Memphis in him. Isn't it interesting that Memphis, Tennessee, has one of the highest crime rates in the world? And yet it has a name that is a faith image. And I've just begun to intercede for Memphis, Tennessee, that that town would rise to the power of its name. That's why it's so important what you name children, because we grow in the character of our name. I want to know something. Did you walk with a turtle this week? Is the stress mood leveling out? Is there a woman in this room named Suzanne? Where? Suzanne, are you in here?
I'm Suzanne. Are you Suzanne? Are you Suzanne? I have been in intercession all night.
You know, we, all of us who have kindred spirits, walk on common ground. So we are not isolated. When you get home and you have moments that you do feel isolated and rejected and misunderstood, and you feel all washed up and finished, I want you to just sit in your easy chair, turn off the TV for a moment. Instead of Oprah, hear Jesus say to you, "You're not finished up. It is finished in me. I am the finished work. Jesus is the finished work. And nothing shall separate you from his love. Or from me." Because that's why I wanted the podium close, so I could touch you. And in everything within us should resound. Let freedom ring. Let freedom ring. Let freedom ring. And stand steadfast in the liberty in which Jesus has set you free. And do not again become entangled in a yoke of bondage. It ain't necessary. I love good grammar, but ain't just says it well. Peter tells us when we get home, roll up your sleeves and put your mind in gear and be totally ready to receive the gift that's coming your way when Jesus arrives. If you have deficits in your life, financially, relationally, emotionally, your Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Go to your Father, ask him to sell a few cows and come visit you. You have that kind of familiar relationship with your Father. And he understands English. You can be free. And don't lazily. Slothfulness is an enemy of the soul, just like pride is. Get up and move, even if you can only move a finger. Do something in response to the life of the Spirit within you every day. So don't lazily slip back into those old grooves, those familiar patterns that rot us at the core. And just do what you feel like doing. Our call is to walk in the rhythm of His voice, His Spirit. His love. We are offspring of God's intentional love. Thanks be to God. You are a chosen people. You are the bride of Christ. What an awesome honor. It reminds me of, and I told you this, but I'm going to tell it again because it's funny. A few years back, Francis McNutt and my dad and I, we were out in Vail, Colorado for a retreat. And my dad was speaking, and this feminist nun got very upset with him because he referred to the sons of God. And so she confronted him. And he said, "Sister Mary, I am very sorry you were uncomfortable with being called a son of God." He said, "You know, I don't mind being called the bride of Christ." Isn't that wonderful? We get all tangled up in gender and confusion and da, 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 da. And that's to help us miss the mark. As long as you don't have to be definite and take a stand and walk with true identity of who you are in Jesus, we kind of control people through confusion. And at any level we seek to control people, we are practicing witchcraft. Love does not control, not even the love of God. The Holy Spirit infuses us, and we always have a choice to react or respond to His presence. My daddy put it this way. We either react to the pressure or we respond to His presence. Now, yesterday, I was so spiritual yesterday morning, gave you this glorious talk. Just riding on cotton. And about 3 hours later, I got so miffed at your prophet, Stan Carter. And I didn't hesitate to let him know I was miffed. But I can't stay there. I mean, I feel it strongly, and I express myself, and then I beat up myself, and then Barbara Philbrick came over to visit, and she said, "How you doing?" And I said, "I am miffed at Stan Carter. I can't counsel right now because I'm not in the right spirit, so I think I better go tell him I'm sorry." And I did, and it broke. And then that powerful talk, Stan, I think that's the best talk I've ever heard you give. You came forth, and we were at peace, and we even had a nice little love in when we got back last night. So, don't stretch your imagination too far. I'm old. And the Bible says, let your prayer shape your worries into prayers. So when you're disgruntled, get in a spirit of quickly, of forgiveness and gratitude, so that you can get into a spirit of praise. Because worry is not Christian. Confidence in the Lord is Christian. Trusting Him is Christian. Worry is manufactured within us. It is not eternal. It's baloney. And your life is a journey you must travel with a deep consciousness of God, Peter says. It's because of this sacrificed Messiah, Jesus Christ, whom God raised from the dead and glorified, that you trust God, that you know you have a future in God. Be ye 80 or 60 or 18. You have a wondrous future. And the way to have a long life is to live life now. I can attest to that personally. The way to perpetuate life is to live life. If you don't know what to do in life, as Rufus Mosley said, do the loving thing. My daddy would say, it's more important to be loving than to be right. Ooh, I don't like that one. I have a great need to be right. And I assure you that they that wait upon the Lord and wait some more shall renew their strength and mount up as eagles. But just know that that time of waiting is not passive. Waiting is active. There's no stagnation in Jesus. You gonna be a swamp or a river? You gonna be a swamp or a river? No stagnation. So what happens in the meantime between your dream and what's happening now is very important moments in your life. Don't waste them. And now that you've cleaned up your life by following the truth, love one another as if your life depended on it, because it does. The old life is a grass life. Its beauty as short-lived as wildflowers. Grass dries up and flowers droop. But God's word, the living word, Jesus himself, lives on and on and on and on and on. There ain't no graves in heaven. Life is progressive on this side and the other side of the veil. Paul spoke of many levels of understanding. There are many mansions, many levels of growth on this side forever. And you're the same person 5 minutes after you died that you are before you died. So don't ever even think about suicide, because you still got you to deal with. I asked my hairdresser, I said, now, if I should die, you be sure my roots are done. I want Clairol 32 on my head. She said, well, roots don't take on a dead person. I said, well, get some Ralph Lauren gold paint and do something. Isn't that sick? You know, Tom had a closed casket. My parents did too. I mean, of course, you know, with beautiful Paul on the casket. And I was so, you'd be proud of me. I stayed out of the girls' business. I didn't try to advise them about the funeral. Or I just walked with them. I was so proud of myself. And when they invited me, you know, his body was in Nashville, and I had to fly him to North Carolina for the funeral. And, of course, he went to UNC, and Franklin Street is the main drag in Chapel Hill that runs in front of UNC. All his Rotary buddies, they collect there on Franklin. And so they had the hurt when they did get him flown. They were going to cremate it, and oh, my heart went in my feet, but I didn't say anything. And then Sarah Hope felt checked in her spirit about that, said, I can't bear to burn up my daddy. So they flew him back and took the hearse and had him drive Tom down Franklin Street, which was very significant. And then they invited me to join them at the funeral home for a little family gathering. And it was so sweet. We laughed, we cried. It was so sweet. And the girls, Tom's three daughters, wrote little notes to put in his casket. And Hannah Grace, that said she had sugar in her heart, 2 years old, she drew him a picture. And I thought, what offering can I give Tom? So I stuck a cigarette in his cuff. And I said, one for the road, brother. Stan's embarrassed. No one lives on borrowed time. Every moment we breathe is a gift, not borrowed. It's a gift. Mark Twain said, as you march in time, learn to breathe the air of angels. Breathe the air of angels. Isn't that precious? I love the delicacy. I mean, God is very sturdy, but I love the delicacy, the tenderness of his heart and presence. I was asked to share this again, and I think it could be repeated in our minds and lifestyles every day, and we'd never grow weary of this truth. Tommy Tyson said, love is the ability to accept people as they are, or to accept a circumstance just the way it is. Faith is the ability to see a person whole as they can become in Christ Jesus, or how a situation is resolved by the touch of his hand. And hope is the power to wait for the processes to take place. There's no urgency in the kingdom. I was sharing with Kristen a while ago, my daddy used to say, if we run out of time, God will make more time. So when you feel rushed, go walk with the turtle and turn your face, your glance, to Jesus, and he will counsel you with his eye. We can afford to face every day with glad anticipation and not dread. And you can rest assured, Jesus will see you through. He'll see you through the loneliness. He'll see you through the times your children aren't calling you regularly. He'll see you through health issues. He'll see you through business issues. And as we bask in his love and be motivated by love, you'll find your heart will not become a rocky abyss, but it will become like a well-watered garden. Thanks be to God. You know, St. Augustine said to love God first and do what you want to. When you look, and Oral Roberts used to say, I miss him too. You know, he died in December. What a great man. And Oral used to say, if you love God, you can love everybody else as much as you want to. And that's what St. Augustine's saying. He's not saying being to be careless. It's the fact that love calls us to be innovative, creative, and blessers and healers in our land. What a high calling. Dr. Abloh, the well-known psychiatrist, said the other day on TV that 1 out of 25 Americans North Americans, 1 out of 25 have no conscience. I'm telling you, when you're seared, you're walking in darkness, and there is nothing good that can come from living carelessly or without compassion or sensitivity. And we're in a crisis now socially, health-wise, that trusting Jesus and drawing nigh unto him is almost like no option. We've got to. At least I feel that way in my own life. Of course, we always have choices, but it just feels that way. So let your spirit master your emotions, not your emotions master your spirit. And know that Jesus is not threatened by your need. I don't pray to be rid of my garbage anymore. I do not pray that way. What I pray is, Lord, take this trash, this garbage in my being, and scoop it up and make a compost so that a great and nutritious harvest can be birthed out of that compost to bless those in my sphere and beyond. That's the way I'm led to pray this day. Because we're all called to holiness. He is our perfection. He is our holiness. And he wants for us to live holy lives with consciousness and conscience for our well-being and wholeness. If you need to get well, you've got to want to be well. Don't waste your energy praying for somebody that doesn't want to be well. We move. We have to cooperate with our Jesus. And know that you don't have to protect God as Christians. I wish I could convince CFO hierarchy of that. We do not have to protect his reputation. God is our protector within and without. So press on to your high calling. Pursue your race with thanksgiving in your heart. Don't fear. He will expand your tent so that you can accommodate the more of him. And know the things the Lord has planned for you won't happen right away. But slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches when the vision in your heart will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, do not despair, for these things will surely come to pass. Just be patient. They will not be overdue a single day. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. And now I'd like to close with a blessing that I received 3 years ago from precious Kathleen Elliott. And I leave you with this blessing. And I want you to know I not only give deep thanks to you for your open hearts and arms and sensitive spirits to stand in me. And to the one who is within us, it's hard to say that, isn't it? But it's the truth. I just want to act like it. I want my behavior to reflect the one who lives within me. It needs to get translated, more refined every day. And I'm talking about myself. So here's the blessing I leave with you. Let us give thanks for a bounty of people right here at Winnipesaukee. For children, I love these little ones and the big ones. For children who are our second planting, and though they grow like weeds and the wind too soon blows them away, may they forgive us our cultivation and fondly remember where their roots are. Let us give thanks for generous friends with hearts and smiles as bright as their blossoms, for feisty friends as tart as apples, for continuous friends who like scallions and cucumbers keep reminding us that we've had them, for crotchety friends sour as rhubarb and as indestructible, for handsome friends who are as gorgeous as eggplants and as elegant as a row of corn, and the others as plain as potatoes and so good for you. For funny friends who are as silly as Brussels sprouts and as amusing as Jerusalem artichokes, and serious friends as unpretentious as cabbages, as subtle as summer squash, as persistent as parsley, as delightful as dill, as endless as zucchini, and who, like parsnips, can be counted on to see you through the winter. For old friends, nodding like sunflowers in the evening time, and young friends coming on as fast as radishes. For loving friends who wind around us like tendrils and hold us despite our blights, our wilts, and witherings. And finally, for those friends now gone, like gardens past that have been harvested, but who fed us in their times that we might have life thereafter. Hallelujah. May I say, in the words of Christofferson, I love you so much. I'll never forget you. I may never see any of you again. I hope so. But for this week, I'm so glad I got to dance with you for a moment of forever. Amen. Hallelujah. God be with you. God.